Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of your maritime programme Seascapes. This week we hear about a European boat project celebrating maritime traditions, and we'll be talking to delegates from Spain and France and their hosts Mehel Mata, Chris Collins and Willie Kirwan on a newly built Bantry longboat in Banagher. And we'll hear about two contrasting cruises, the first with Georgie Fame and many others celebrating the era of Radio Caroline, and a five-day cruise from Miami to Cozumel in Mexico with Motorhead, Megadeth and Anthrax. A must for metal fans at sea. First this week, we remember one of the great maritime advocates, the late John de Courcy Ireland. I had the great pleasure of meeting John back in 2002 when he was a special guest of Seascapes at the recording of a series of maritime-themed Thomas Davis lectures in Studio 10 in the Radio Centre. I treasure the memory of that meeting. Hugh Oram remembers the man.
One of the greatest figures in Irish maritime history, Dr. John de Courcy Ireland, died 8 years ago on April 4th, 2006. Memories of him and all the work he did to promote the Irish maritime tradition live on strongly. He was a wonderful person, and I was one of many people with an interest in maritime matters who was privileged to have known him. The first time I met him was at his modest home in Dorky, and once he'd got started on his reminiscences and his anecdotes about the sea, there was no stopping him. His skills at storytelling helped him become a firm favourite on Seascapes over many years. On one occasion, he had enthused about how when you emerge from the railway station in Marseille and stand at the top of the great flight of steps that leads to the city below, you'll be enthused by the tremendous view over the port of Marseille. A short time after that, I happened to arrive in Marseille by train and found the view exactly as he'd described it with such enthusiasm. He was born in Lucknow in India in 1911, the son of a County Kildare man who was serving in the British Army in India. His father died from a fever a short while later, and John was eventually sent home to go to school at Marlborough College in England. He recalled later that his stepfather was a ghastly man, and that as a diversion he started reading the Encyclopaedia Britannica from cover to cover. His adventures at sea began when he was 17, and he ran away to serve as a deckhand on a Dutch freighter sailing to South America. It was a fine introduction to the maritime world, but he came back and went up to Oxford. And it was there that he met Beatrice Haig, usually called Betty, who was working in a cafe there. They married when they were both 21 and went on to have one son and two daughters. In typical John de Courcy Ireland style, the first thing they did after they were married was to spend some months living on the Aran Islands and in County Donegal to improve their Irish. John was nothing if not a perfectionist. His wife became a nurse in Barcelona during the Spanish Civil War. An early indication of John's political views came in 1940 when he was 29 years of age and working in a ship's chandler's in Derry. He found himself sacked because of all his trade union activity. Eventually, though, he completed his education at Trinity College in Dublin, where he got his PhD in 1951 for his dissertation on the influence of the sea on civilization. He always used to say that the sea bound people together. John made a lifelong career out of teaching, first at St Patrick's Cathedral Grammar School in Dublin, then at Drogheda Grammar School, going on to Bandon Grammar School in County Cork. In 1968, he joined the staff of Kingstown Grammar School in Dunlera, and it eventually became New Park Comprehensive. John stayed there until 1986, which meant that he had carried on as a teacher until he was 75. In 1943, He was a founder of the Maritime Institute of Ireland and remained on its council for 55 years, as well as being its research officer. In 1959, he was one of those instrumental in setting up the Maritime Museum in Dunlera, and in that harbour town too, he was secretary of the local lifeboat for over 25 years, and he was also a life governor of the RNLI. He wrote some very learned books on maritime history, and his last book in 2001 was A History of Dunlera Harbour. And out of the plaques erected in his honour, the one that pleased him most was that in the People's Park in Dunlera, because it was the only one that mentioned his wife Betty, who died in 1999. John received honours and recognition from many countries around the world, from Argentina to China, France to the old Yugoslavia. He was simply unstoppable, and on his 90th birthday, he was to be found in Melilla, one of the two Spanish enclaves on the northern coast of Morocco. It was in Melilla that the world's first lifeboat service had been organised, and John, naturally, wanted to find out more. Apart from all his maritime interests, he was keenly involved in such organisations as the Irish Anti-Apartheid Movement and the Irish Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. John was a lifelong pacifist. He and his wife Betty were always committed to left-wing causes, and deep down, his two passions, apart from his wife, were humanity and the sea. A remarkably knowledgeable but modest man, people couldn't help but find him endearing, no matter what their own political views. And we remember him as the great crusader for the Irish maritime and marine sector, and indeed for the sailing confraternity the world over.
Writer and broadcaster Hugh Oram, remembering the late John de Courcy Ireland, who passed away on this day in 2006. We've had a note from Joe Ryan to say that he's giving a fundraising lecture at the National Maritime Museum of Ireland in Dunlera on Thursday the 10th of April on the Coast Guard service, Hands Around the Country, the Work of the Coast Guard 1822 to 2014. The talk is hosted by the Maritime Institute, and details are on the Institute website, www.mariner.ie. He says do book early, as they can only accommodate 200 people. You can phone 01 214 3964, that's 01 214 3964, and payment can be made via Visa or MasterCard, and tickets will be held for collection on the night. You can also see details on www.lugnad.ie, the Maritime Heritage Site. Michael Mara is one of four partners in EU Boat, a Leonardo da Vinci learning partnership funded under the EU Lifelong Learning Programme. The partners in EU Boat are boat builders Albaiola from Pasaya near San Sebastian in the Basque region of Spain, Chantier Tramassé from La Tour near Bordeaux, and local development company Euclides from Anderlecht on the Brussels-Charleroi Canal. They met in Cork over the past few days and were hosted by Michael Mara in a series of seminars and workshops. Seascapes talked to a number of those participating. First, we hear from Fran Lynch, who's a volunteer with Michael Mara.
It's a Leonardo-funded project to try and foster relations between organisations like Michael Mara, who are working with the community, using boat building as their tool to work with community groups. So here in Cork, we always thought Michael Mara was fairly unique, that there was nobody else doing anything like what we're doing, so it's been nice to discover that there are very similar organisations in at least three other places that we've found, and they're all here represented for this event. I think we go out rowing on the river in our curraghs nearly every day of the week. There's curraghs out rowing in the river here, and when you're on the river, you look up at the banks and see heads turning, looking into the river, and kind of it's a lovely thing to be doing out on the river rowing curraghs, and hopefully it's making an impact on the city and people passing by in the mornings going to work and coming home from work. And the weekday rowing is generally club members going out doing training for Ocean City and just going for a morning or an evening row. But yeah, the Saturday mornings is a big public event, and you get crowds of people from People who've lived in Cork and just heard about it, or tourists who have been pointed in the direction of Naivoga Corkí, which is the Curragh rowing branch of Mathamara. And you can just turn up on Saturday morning, bring €10, and you'll be kitted out with buoyancy aid and instructor and shown how to row Curraghs up and down the river.
Of course, the Ocean to City Festival has really put the whole connection between the maritime and this city and boats in the public eye, and tourism is very much an important part of what's going on here, really.
Yeah, it is, and actually one of the speakers we had yesterday was Fiona Buckley from Fáilte, Ireland, and they've got big plans for water-based tourism in Cork and right around the country. And also one of the delegation from San Sebastian is from the tourism arm of their city council, and they're very interested in what we're doing here, you know, in linkages between the commercial and leisure use of the harbour and the river and developing water-based tourism activities. So it's kind of an interesting link there too. Yeah, those 7 o'clock morning rowing sessions are fantastic. At the moment it's bright in the mornings, but through the winter we're out there in moonlight and starlight and getting frost off the boats before going out. It really is lovely. But yeah, every two mornings a week at least at 7 a.m. there's 3 or 4 Curraghs goes up and down the river. I've always been interested in the water and water activities, sailing, rowing and swimming and all that. And here in Cork, it's just right there on our doorstep, the river flowing around at all our feet all the time, and it's lovely to be able to get out, get involved.
And of course the Ocean to City, as we were mentioning a moment ago, where people row from the harbour right into the city, hence the name of the race. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, of course, training for that all year round.
Yep, there's a non-stop training for that, and it's really getting heated up now with the race only 8 weeks away, I think. So yeah, that brings a huge mix of boats onto the river, from canoes and everything to the 10-oared Bantry longboat that we have here in Cork. And actually, interestingly, there's two people here from Banagher in County Offaly. They've just completed a build of a new Bantry longboat, the newest one in Ireland, and they are hoping to keep it on the Shannon and get a crew set up and for rowing and sailing and take part in Bantry longboat activities, and hopefully they might come down for Ocean City, maybe not this year but next year.
As Fran mentioned, there is a latest addition to the Bantry longboat fleet. In a moment we'll hear from Chris Collins of CMC Boatbuilding. First, let's hear from this gentleman from Offaly, Willie Kerwin, who was a volunteer on the project.
I'm Willie Kerwin. I'm from Birr, about 9 miles from Banagher, and I've been travelling to from Banagher for, since last November, 12 months, and we're coming very near completion of the boat now, thankfully.
It was started off by somebody else's idea, I suppose, and it's come to a culmination now. We're coming to the end of it, but I think the original people that were involved aren't anymore, because there have been some delays in getting it finished, you know. But it's a fantastic project to be involved in, absolutely, you know. And the benefit that a lot of the volunteers have got out of it has been amazing to see, really amazing.
He's got his final coat of paint, and we have some oiling to do on the inside of the boat. One feels a bit nostalgic too, in the sense that it's coming to an end, and the enjoyment was knocked out of it from the beginning was really, well, to me anyway, I enjoyed it, and I think all the rest of the crew enjoyed it as well. About 7 or 8 of us involved all along through since the beginning. So we'll miss it when it's underwater, but we'll miss working on it, in other words. There are a number of them in the country at the moment, and they appear to be... the thing about it with us was it was a little hamlet down in the middle of the country, with the Shannon running through it. And we began to think about a boat 40, 38 feet long, how would it go on the Shannon and all that kind of thing. And being a sea boat, well, at the end of the day, we'd like to see it doing what it's meant to do. And I'd like to get a chance myself to row it, or maybe sail it in it sometime in the future.
Of course, that's the unique thing about it, that you can sail and row them.
Yes.
And also, I suppose, when people think of the Shannon, they think of the Shannon 1. But this is a very different craft.
Or it is a different
craft. It is different. I'm not sure it's going to be able to be used to its full potential in Banner as such, but either up or down, they're the two locks, you know, which offer more space for the sailing of the vessel, you know. So we're hoping that we'll be able to get some sort of a trailer to be able to transport it efficiently, either up or down the river, to use it to its full potential, you know.
So, William, what got you involved in this? What was the spark that lit the flame, as the fellow says?
My wife. I retired, and I was under her feet all day. And she saw a little ad in our local paper looking for volunteers, and anybody interested, ring this number. So I rang the number twice and got no answers. And so after, slightly before Christmas, she took up the phone one day and she got answers. So I was on my way to Banagher fairly shortly after. I haven't looked back, I was afraid. But most enjoyable. And I'd say anybody that gets involved in woodwork, I think you've got to have a little something in your touch and your feel and everything. But the payback is fabulous when you see the completed, well, the boat in this case in front of you. It's the payback is, you kind of develop a relationship as time goes on. And at the end of the day, you know, wherever it goes, I hope it's justified. It's a lovely boat, and we'd like to see it on water. I won't go any further than that.
It becomes very emotional, you
it
know.
Does.
And I don't want to embarrass myself, but often there are tears involved when a boat hits the water, you know. So, yeah.
Willie Kerwin and Chris Connons. We'll keep you posted on the progress of that Bantry longboat as it heads out on the water. Next, Seascapes talk to a representative of the delegation from the Basque region, Fernando.
Hello, good morning. I am Fernando Nebreda. I come from Oarsoaldea, which is an organization from the Basque country in the northern part of Spain. And my organization is a local development agency, which is promoting projects linked to recuperation of maritime heritage. Now what we're trying to do is to recover, to bring back to life those links that have been made throughout the history, and we will try put that into value through this meeting today, which is trying to exchange experiences. All of us have something in common, that we are trying to recover this culture, to recover the way our ancestors went to the sea and navigated and sailed, and all the culture that is behind that. Our project is based on the building of a 16th century Basque galleon, which was used for whaling. Basque sailors used that to go to Canada, so that involves at this moment that we have to work in wood, carpenters, and also in iron. Also we have to learn how to navigate in this, because the way they sailed at that time, it was completely different, only with wind, you know. So it involved, you would say, three items, like carpenters and iron workers and blacksmiths, and the third one is sailing. In 16th, 17th centuries, the Basque whalers were well known all over the world, and they hunted whales, particularly in northern Europe and in Canada. And as a matter of fact, the government of Canada has searched a lot about this, and we have proofs, many proofs of that at the moment. So I think they were very brilliant whalers, and we are trying to bring it back to our days, all this history, all this heritage.
Well worth a visit to Pasaya near San Sebastian in northern Spain. From the north of Spain to the south of France, and to Jacques Antony of Chantier-Tramassé.
We are here for a European project with different partners, European partners like Meteor Mara here in Cork and Albaola in Spain and from Brussels too. And we are working on different things about find a solution to have a really good economic and economic statue, because we are an association in France, non-profit association, and we are making some boats, traditional boat building and repair and all. And we have the same function of social function like Meteor Mara and the other one partners, and we try with the other to find a good model to continue in good condition, because it's difficult to have funds. And we have to find funds, public and private funds. And today we start really the meeting for to we show to the other one what is our activity, different activity, and what are the different solutions we found. And we are really happy to be here. We come from Bordeaux in the southwest, and it's navigation is sailing on the river, and it's a little bit different because it's for pleasure and it's for economic reason at the beginning. And we try to continue to have a good transmission with the older people, and knowledge. To have a transmission about this knowledge to make and the tradition of working boats. Yesterday we talked about that with Cork Ports for on the development of the port in economic, for pleasure and for tourism. And we think, and I think it's a good idea for Cork to develop the port for tourism and propose another view of the city and tradition, and we've searched to find the same for our country, because our association is a little association like Meteor Mara, and it's near Bordeaux, like 20 kilometers, and we can find some links to go and back from Bordeaux and all. And we propose some idea, and Cork proposed a different idea too. You can find some different boats for the sea, especially for the sea with a big keel, and in the river you could find some boats with a little keel, because the flow is really hard, and it's really easy to move with that or without that. And it's these boats are for working, and when you put stone and wine on the boats, you can find a good stability.
Jacques Anthony of Chantier Tramassé, who were part of the EU boat Leonardo programme held this week. You can read more on those involved in the programme on the Seascapes webpage, www.rte.ie/radio1/seascapes. Now on Seascapes for something completely different, and two contrasting musically themed sea cruises. The first is to celebrate the 50th anniversary of pirate radio, and it's a beat cruise on a classic liner, the MS Marco Polo, sailing out of Tilbury Dock in London, with 2 days in Antwerp and Amsterdam, with live music on board, featuring Georgie Fame, Eddie Floyd, and legendary DJs Johnny Walker, Emperor Roscoe, and Dave Cash. You can find out more on www.pirateradiocruise.com. The cruise takes place on the 6th, 7th and 8th of August. And if you thought that cruise beats anything, well, you can always try this out. Motorhead have signed up special guests Megadeth, Anthrax and Zakk Wylde for a five-day cruise out of Miami to Cozumel in Mexico. Lemmy promises plenty of loud music with no escape. Full metal jacket required. The cruise, billed as the loudest boat in the world, takes place from the 22nd to the 26th of September. More details on Facebook, Motorhead Cruise. Congratulations to the Sailing in Dublin Club, who celebrate 30 years this year. You can read more about the club on www.sailinginDublin.ie. This weekend, the Met Society are gathering in Galway at the Martin Ryan Institute at NUIG on Saturday afternoon for a weather symposium. Amongst the speakers that are likely to be there, there'll be a talk on the Irish National Boy Network given by Dr. Guy Westbrook, and the Met Society also tell us that the feature lecture by Dinah Malloy on gleaning weather information from old whalers' logs should be of particular interest. All are welcome to attend with just a small charge of €5. The Met Society also have a day trip on Sunday the 6th to Macehead Atmospheric Station in Connemara. You can find out all the details on www.irishmetsociety.org. Sailspree will take place this May Bank Holiday weekend. However, participating clubs, classes and training centres only have until this Sunday, the 6th of April, to register. In order to avail of the regional, national and online PR campaign and the personalised Facebook advertising, contact the ISA on www.sailing.ie. Next week here on Seascapes, the effective policing of our maritime domain. What's your view? Norman Freeman on the adventures of Captain Casanova on the high seas. We talk to the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group about their research work with the humpback whales. Hugh Oram on Ivan Beshov, the Ukrainian who settled in Dublin and developed a successful business. All that and much more here on Seascapes next Friday night. Until then, tight lines and fair sailing.